This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about fresh chilies.
Yes, and this is the perfect time of year for it. End of summer, super profusion of chilies at the market, all kinds of colors, all kinds of shapes and flavors. And we're going to zoom in on our favorite kind of middle ground category.
Yeah, we're gonna tackle not the super hot ones, not the mild ones like bell peppers. We are going to zero in on like the medium hot ones that are often generally medium sized as well.
Yeah, and the small ones are harder to tackle anyway because small things just kind of throw yourself on them and then where did they go?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we've made a couple of delicious chili-infused dishes that we're going to tell you about. But I think the reason that I'm so excited about these medium-sized, medium-heat peppers is because, you, unlike the little guys, you can really treat them like a vegetable and get some nice heat going and tons of flavor and eat a ton of them.
Yeah, that's what I really like about them is that, you know, for the most part, they have just the right amount of heat where you can also really taste their flavor.
Right.
And so you do want to eat a lot of them. And the preparations that we've made them in today, indeed, we have been eating a lot of peppers today.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are, our blood is energized with capsicum.
So let's talk about what these peppers are.
So the ones that we've had so far here, we've got these slightly littler ones that are often just really eaten out of hand as a vegetable, like padrones and shishitos.
Mm-hmm. That are often served fried and, you know, topped with a little bit of sea salt.
And both of those are kind of up-and-coming, you know, cool ingredients of the moment, I think.
I mean, yeah, I would say that, you know, we're not generally very trendy here, Matthew. I mean, I'm willing to own
that. Speak for yourself.
But but I would say that padrones and shishitos are sort of showing up on menus and, you know, in publications all over the place.
For all you know, I'm wearing a really trendy outfit.
You're not.
No.
Let's keep it real here,
people. You weren't supposed to tell them. Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing these things on menus everywhere, including at your restaurant. And it's because, I mean, they're really great. They're a very satisfying kind of snacky thing that you can keep pulling these peppers off a skewer or just off a plate of sautéed peppers and just eating them one after another.
Really delicious with beer, I should add.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these medium heat peppers are much less polarizing than the small guys because they have a level of heat that almost anyone can handle, whereas the little spicy peppers, you know, those draw strong opinions because some people cannot take the heat.
That's true. You know, well, what makes it so that a person can take the heat? Like, I kind of feel like I've been in training for the last 5 years since I met Brandon, who's like Mr. Shoving Hot Stuff in His Face.
There's a physiological component, and then there's, you know, you can train up to a point, but there's also,
yeah,
you have, your tongue is different from other people's tongues.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll ever be quite like Brandon, but my tolerance is higher now. I mean, what's the difference between us?
It's how many taste buds you have.
Really? And, so he has fewer taste buds than I do?
He has fewer taste buds than
I win!
You. Yes, exactly. You should go home and start needling him about this right now.
So does it mean that I'm like, you know, I mean, we could get into the whole super taster thing, which I'm sure, you know, we've all heard about in the past couple of years. I mean, does it mean that I'm like one step closer to a super taster?
Yeah, you're probably in between normal taster. I'm a non-taster. Like, I have very few taste buds.
Really?
Yeah. And I always hate to mention that because, you know, tasting stuff is sort of like part of my job.
I can't believe that we've had this whole podcast together all this time and I didn't know that you're a non-taster.
Yeah, it makes it sound like you just can't taste anything.
Yeah, it does.
That is so unfair. We need a new word.
So if you and I were to eat the same thing, I mean, I guess there's no way of ever knowing this, but if you and I were to eat the same thing, like, it's just going to taste like the heat has the volume turned down on it to you?
I think so.
Well, it sounds to me like the whole super taster, non-taster thing, does it sort of just affect flavors at extremes? Like, it affects, you know, extreme bitterness, probably, like a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Or extreme heat or whatever. I mean, because you have a great palate and you're really good at balancing things. You. This is going to turn into the Matthew fan club. Anyway.
Here's your $10.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems to me that, I don't know, I find that really fascinating that you and I can agree on a lot of flavors, but that at the far ends of the spectrums that we're going to differ.
Yeah, part of the appeal of the notion is, I think, just the cool names, like super taster. It seems like it should require some sort of jumpsuit, and non-taster, like the sad guy who can't taste anything. And I think both of those terms kind of overstate the actual facts.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've just had a plate of padrones here. And one thing that's cool about these peppers, shishitos and padrones, is that they vary a lot in heat. Even, you know, they can like come off the same plant and vary in heat.
Yeah, people refer to them often as the Russian roulette of peppers. I think I don't know, I feel like I read somewhere that the average statistic is that like 1 in 10 padrones is hot. But I think, you know, it really varies depending on where they're cooked. The ones that we were eating today, God, I would say it was like maybe 50 or 60% were really spicy.
So we said the average statistic. I thought you were going to follow up that up with like, don't become a statistic. Yeah. Yeah. How do you tell which is going to be the hot one? You can't.
You can't. That's the roulette part.
And they're not really that hot.
No, it's actually a really pleasant burn. Right now, actually, my whole mouth just feels warm. It's kind of cozy.
Yeah, my mouth is very happy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And shishitos, those are the Japanese version. They're closely related to padrones. They're a little smaller. They're a little less likely to be spicy in my experience. And you often get them like at a yakitori restaurant grilled on a skewer alongside like some grilled chicken.
Yeah. And I should say that, you know, these peppers will be in farmers markets probably for just a little bit longer. And after that, you can find shishitos often at Asian markets year round.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's good to know. I mean, I bought them at Uwajimaya here in Seattle, like in the wintertime, and they're not quite as sweet, but you know, if you got a craving, they're pretty good.
Yeah, and unlike the slightly larger peppers that we're going to talk about in a minute, these guys take so little preparation. I mean, you brought those padrones in and they were ready to eat like 4 minutes later.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah, so I just brought these padrones over and I took a big skillet and got it really nice and hot over like medium high or high heat. And then I added a little bit of vegetable oil to it, just enough to film the bottom, and waited till that got nice and hot and shimmery. And then I threw the peppers in and stirred them around for, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes until they were really blistery and sort of nicely browned on all sides. And you'll notice when you pull them out of the pan, they're going to deflate a little bit. So if they
I love that.
I know, I really do too. So if they're still, you know, if they still look really firm in the pan, don't worry about it. It's mostly blistering you're looking for.
Now, the part you're leaving out is when you were complaining about the fact that I didn't have a wood-burning oven, which would be the ideal cooking mechanism.
Well, at Delancey, we cook them in a wood-burning oven, and it's really nice because you get a little bit of smoky flavor. But, you know, you could probably also do these under the broiler, frankly, if you don't want to do them in a skillet. Anyway, but they're delicious however you do it. Just get some good blistering and then hit them with some good sea salt.
Have you ever had a chili explode?
I haven't.
I have. Not one of these. One of the, like a Serrano jalapeno, like I've been like toasting it in a pan and they actually like burst open with a puff of steam. They're really cool.
Did it like really like blow, like you were covered in like jalapeno debris?
No, it was more like popcorn-y, although I guess it's probably not going to replace popcorn anytime soon, but I would eat it.
Jalapeno poppers.
Yeah.
You know, God, you set me up for that one.
Oh, God.
So you used Anaheim chilies in your dish today, is that right?
Yeah, so these are like the big, long, skinny, light green ones, like kind of 6 inches long or so, and they sometimes curl up into funny shapes.
Yeah, I really have not used them at all. I've used poblanos a bit, but not really Anaheim. So, you know, so why did you choose them?
I chose them because they had a ton of them for cheap at my favorite farm stand. But also, they're real kind of perfect middle of the road pepper for charring, peeling, and chopping or pureeing to use in a sauce. So like enchiladas with which is what I made today with a sauce based on Anaheim chilies is totally classic. Kind of Southwestern.
You said you had to peel them?
Yeah. So Anaheim's, and I think Poblano's too, you really have to get the very thin peel off them. Unlike the little peppers, which you can just pop in your mouth whole, the peel on these guys is kind of hearty and gross. So the way you do that is you just char them all over, either over a gas burner flame, on a grill, or under the broiler. And then let them cool and the skin slip right off.
Nice. And they had a really wonderful flavor and really weren't that hot, but like pleasant.
Yeah. You know. And sometimes you get a batch that's hotter, but generally they're pretty mild. And I usually, because my daughter doesn't like hot things as much as I do, if you pull the seeds and like the little ribs in the middle out after they're roasted and peeled, that takes most of the heat with it.
So we're going to put the enchilada recipe you used on the old website, right?
Yeah, and when I say enchiladas, you know, probably what comes to mind is you know, like a pan baked in the oven with lots of cheese and some sour cream and filled with something. These are enchiladas, and they're really like most basic, like street food form. You take corn tortillas, fry them in vegetable oil, and then dip them in the enchilada sauce, which was based on tomatillos and Anaheims, basically, and garlic.
It was really delicious.
And so the whole point of the dish is just this chili infused tortilla that's you know, a little firm and a little soft, and you top it with just a little bit of crumbled cheese and radishes and cabbage.
It was delicious.
Thank you.
Really, really delicious.
And then the other pepper that I always think about at the same time as Anaheims that we're not using today are poblanos, probably because they're always like next to each other at the supermarket. Those are like the big kind of triangular dark green peppers. Yeah. They really have a beautiful color.
They're the classic chili relleno pepper.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
I haven't made that in a long time. Those can be really good.
Yeah, we should do another chili episode.
I think we will.
Yeah, so that we have a reason to get together and eat chili rellenos.
Yes, because we couldn't do that without recording the show.
Definitely
because
not.
We have a responsibility to you.
We do. Everything we do it for you. Oh, and man. Bryan Adams. It was Bryan Adams, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was. Mm. How do you feel about Summer of 69?
I love that Summer of 69.
That is such a great song.
Like, when I hear it on the radio, I like crank it up. I love it. It makes me feel nostalgic for the Summer of 69.
I think we're going to put a clip of that song in, and if Bryan Adams or his record label wants to sue us, go ahead.
Yeah, we love your song.
We dare you.
We love your song, dude.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it to my face.
What were we talking about?
No. Anyway.
Poblanos,
whatever. Let's talk about another kind of pepper that I want to talk about.
Fine.
I want to talk about banana peppers, which are another sort of mid-sized pepper. They tend to be very mild, but they're great for pickling.
And those are the really like light colored ones,
yeah.
Kind of light yellowish.
Yeah, it's almost like neon green without the neon part. It's like chartreuse.
And you know they're ready to eat because they get covered with brown spots. I'm lying.
No. Banana peppers, they're great for pickling. They really maintain their texture. They're really nice and meaty and crunchy. And anyway, we really like to pepper them. Whatever. We really... Well, you know, you should visit the website for the three recipes we're going to have this week.
Three recipes. Wow.
Three recipes. We'll have the like the pan-fried padrones.
Yep. We're going to have the folded green chili enchiladas.
And we'll have a recipe for pickled peppers.
Wow. Three recipes that's starting to get out of control.
It's crazy. It's totally crazy. Next week, it's going to be like nine. It's going to grow exponentially.
Oh, God. So
get ready, people.
It's one of those things where in 6 weeks, it's going to be more recipes than have ever been published in the history of food. Mm-hmm. I can handle that responsibility. Okay. I'm ready for that. We've been at this for a while. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that's medium-sized and medium-spicy. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
It's the secret part of the show.
It is the secret.
This episode is brought to you by Town Place Suites by Marriott.
Whether you're traveling for work, need a place to stay while your home is being remodeled, or maybe you're just enjoying a relaxing week away, well, TownePlace Suites by Marriott has all the comforts of home.
Yeah, so they've got a full kitchen. They've got, you can borrow appliances, like if you want a blender or a slow cooker while you're traveling, you can borrow it, no charge.
So like you could invite your friends or your coworkers over for like a post-meeting drink.
You can bring your pet. Totally allowed.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I see. They even have special pet items you can use.
And they have the built-in Elfa closet system. Nothing makes me happier when I am traveling and I have like a place to put away my clothes. Mm-hmm. Molly has seen what happens when I don't have a place to put away my clothes. Nobody wants to see
Nobody.
Yeah. So like a whole closet system where I can really like unpack for reals. I am down.
Well, this is made for you then. And this is TownePlace Suites by Marriott.
TownePlace Suites by Marriott has all the amenities you need to feel at home during your stay.
Find the comforts of home at TownePlace Suites. Go there with Marriott Bonvoy.